devotees to Sri Radha Gopinath's Sunday festival. His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, he traveled around the world approximately 13 times, translating books, encouraging and instructing devotees, meeting all various classes of society, from common workers to heads of state, and he established these temples especially as an opportunity to come together and hear about the most precious goals that a human being can attain. To hear the glories of the Supreme Lord, to chant His holy names in the association of devotees, is the greatest of all benedictions. And Srila Prabhupada's kindness, He has made that benediction so accessible to everyone. To understand that spirit is to understand the mood of the Lord. Yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata abhyutanam dharmasya tadatmanam srijam yaham. Krishna descends within this material world again and again and again. In fact, the Bhagavatam describes, just like there are waves in the ocean, the Lord incarnates within this world out of compassion. He is Ras Bihari. He is eternally engaging in the sweetest pastimes of love in the spiritual world. Why He comes to a prison of material existence? Out of His love and compassion for those who are conditioned and corrupted by the false ego and materialistic attachments. The most magnanimous, the most beneficent of all incarnations comes once in a day of Brahma in the age of Kali. And that is Lord Chaitanya. Krishna Himself, but appears with the sentiments and the complexion of His own pleasure potency, Srimati Radharani, to taste the sweetness of her love and to distribute the sweetness of her love without consideration of who is fit or who is unfit. That is Lord Chaitanya. And to understand Lord Chaitanya's mood is very much to understand His relation with His devotees. And when we begin to comprehend even a drop from that ocean, we can better appreciate with gratitude what Srila Prabhupada has given us. I believe last week we were discussing Lord Chaitanya saying farewell to the devotees of Bengal just as they were departing from Puri. Is that so? I will continue that subject matter. On another year, you see the devotees, the Gaudiya Vaishnavas from the province of Bengal, hundreds of them would come to Puri every year, leaving everything else aside to spend 4 months in the association of Lord Chaitanya and each other. And practically all day, they just discussed topics of Krishna and did Harinam Sankirtan and took prasad together. And every festival that came about, they celebrated in a wonderful way. And how did they celebrate the festivals? By speaking about Krishna, by performing Nam Sankirtan, and by taking prasad together. Such a wonderful life. One year, when it was time for all the devotees to return to their homes, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu called them all to Gambira, to his quarters. Is everyone able to hear nicely? Thank you. First he said to Advaitacharya Prabhu, he said, Advaita Prabhu, give Krishna Bhakti, devotion to Krishna, even to the lowest, most fallen, sinful people. And then he turned to Lord Nityananda Prabhu. He said, Oh Nityananda Prabhu, without restriction, without considering who is fit or unfit, manifest prema bhakti, pure love of Krishna. Now these are the two most empowered of the associates of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Sri Advaita, the leader of all the Vaishnavas, and Nityananda Prabhu, who is Balaram himself. And this is the Lord's order. Do not stay here in Puri. Go to Bengal. Go to the place where your service is. And do not consider who is fit or unfit. Give the treasure of prema bhakti to everyone. How? Through propagating the Yuga Dharma, the congregational chanting of the holy name. He told Lord Nityananda, actually just before this incident, Lord Nityananda Prabhu and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had a private, secluded meeting. Nobody heard what they said, but our acharyas understood, and they revealed to the world. Lord Chaitanya told Nityananda Prabhu, do not come back to Puri every year. Stay in Bengal. In fact, you should get married and even have children. That way, you can go everywhere and anywhere to preach without any of the restrictions of the formalities of the renounced order. And he told Lord Nityananda Prabhu, you don't have to return, because whenever you dance, wherever you dance, in an invisible form, I will appear to watch you, and you will know that I am there. Then he turned to Srivas Thakur and embraced him, put his arm around his neck and said, Oh Srivas, in your home and wherever else you may be, perform the congregational chanting of the holy names daily, every day. Bring devotees together and perform Nam Sankirtan. He said, and whenever you perform Sankirtan, I will personally come to attend that Sankirtan. You will see me, but no one else will know that I'm there. Then he told Srivas, take this cloth and this prasad of Lord Jagannath and offer it to my mother, Sachi Devi. After offering her respectful obeisances, please convey my forgiveness for all of my offenses. Actually, I should not have abandoned the service to my mother. After all, she nourished me with so much love. But due to madness, I came into a state and took sannyas. By doing so, I have broken all my religious principles. My mother has conquered me with her pure unalloyed love, and I have neglected to reciprocate, to serve her. Indeed, like a crazy person, I ran off and took sannyas. But I am always subordinate to her love. I remain here living in Nilachala, Jagannath Puri, on her order. But from time to time, I come to Sachi Devi's house to see her. One day Sachi Devi prepared a feast for her deity of Shalagram, Bal Gopal. She made rice out of the Shalapadi. She made a curry from banana flowers. She made spinach and coconut sweets and other types of cakes and delicious food of all varieties. And then she placed that plate on her prasad on her lap as she sat in front of the deities and was thinking, these are the preparations that were so very dear to my Nimai. Thinking about me in this way, tears were pouring from her eyes. She was thinking, this food was so very dear to my Nimai. Now, who is there to accept them? Who have I cooked it for? In this state, sitting before the deities, she was crying. I could not resist. Seeing her tears and hearing the prayers of her heart, instantly I appeared right there and ate all the food. And when she wiped away her tears, she found on her lap the plate was empty. She became confused. She was thinking, is it that the deity of Bal Gopal has eaten it? I don't think so. Perhaps I'm such a fallen person, I forgot to put anything on the plate and I'm offering it to the Lord. Or maybe as I was sitting here, an animal came and ate it all. Or perhaps I offered an empty plate. In this way, very much confused, she went into the kitchen and saw the pots still had plenty of food within them. So she was thinking, I offered an empty plate. I forgot to put anything on it. She called her assistant, Ishan, and told him to clean the whole altar and make another offering. But in fact, I came there and ate it all because I could not resist the calling out of her heart. You remind her of this instance because she will not believe you. Tell her that this happened on the day of Vijaya Dasami. I am bound, I am conquered by my mother's love. Whenever she prepares daily food that she used to cook for me, she always sits and cries. Where is Nimai to accept? And every day I appear personally. She does not see me, but she can feel my presence, and I accept all of her offerings. Offer my respectful obeisances and pacify the heart of Sachi Devi. I am always with her. Last month was Damodar month, Kartik, where we discussed how Yashoda Mai bound Krishna with the rope of her love. Although Krishna is supremely powerful in every sense and is the controller of all controllers, he was controlled by Yashoda Mai's love, by her motherly affection to serve him and please him. Prajendra Nandana Jay Shachishuta Hailo say, the son of Nanda and Yashoda appeared as Lord Chaitanya. And Sachimata is Yashoda Mai herself, reenacting this wonderful pastime. Even Mahaprabhu Sri Chaitanya as a sannyasi always felt completely bound by the love of his mother. He accepted the renounced order of life to give all of us bhakti, so that he could travel everywhere and anywhere to give devotional service. But by his inconceivable grace, he always reciprocated with the love of his mother. Lord Chaitanya then turned to the inhabitants of Kulinagram. The leaders were Satyaraj Kam and Ramananda Basu. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that all of you every year should bring first-class silken ropes to carry Lord Jagannath. Because as we remember, the first Rath Yatra, they were taking ropes to carry Jagannath, but Jagannath is very big and very heavy, and the ropes were breaking. So Lord Chaitanya understood that Kulinagram, the inhabitants there, they knew how to make the best quality, strongest ropes out of pure silk. And Krishna consciousness means to utilize everything in the service of the Lord. Just like Srila Prabhupada. He would get the best printing press from anywhere in the world. Yes? The best mic dictaphone. Whatever was the best in the world, let's take it and use it for Krishna. And whatever skills particular devotees had from different nations, he used it for Krishna. Old Bengali ladies, just your good cooks, just cook for the deities, cook for Krishna. Engineers and businessmen, Surabhi Maharaj. He was an architect from Holland. His name was Hans. He wasn't initiated. He happened to be in India. And he was brought before Prabhupada. He had some faith. He liked Prabhupada a lot. So Prabhupada told Hans, he said, "Oh, you are an architect? I want you to design a temple in Vrindavan and Bombay. And we will build it." He just met this person. He's coming from Holland, Netherlands. Was just barely becoming a devotee, not initiated. Told him to design, architect, and oversee the construction of temples in Vrindavan and Bombay. And he told him, exactly, you should go to the new Radha Govinda temple in Vrindavan and see how that is constructed. That is very nice. And use that as reference. And factually, the temple in Juhu Beach, the temple in Vrindavan, he designed it. He oversaw the construction of it. Whoever came, whatever skills they had. The impersonal conception is Brahma Satyam Jagan Mitya, that this world is an illusion. Only Brahman is truth. Now, according to Shankaracharya teachings, before you could really adopt to this spiritual culture, you have to take sannyas. You have to give up all connection with family, all connection with occupation, all connection with money, and just, you know, be with other sannyasis and study Vedanta and meditate on Brahman, Hare Krishna. But in the Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna wanted to do that. And Krishna chastised him. He said, "No, you are a grihastha, you have a duty to your family, and you are a kshatriya, you have the propensity to fight. Fight for me. Utilize your skills and your talents for me." And that is what Bhagavad Gita is all about. Perform your prescribed duty in a spirit of devotion to God as an offering. Yat karoshi yad ashnashi. Whatever you do, just do it for me, and that is the perfection. Srila Prabhupada said to his American disciples, "You are Americans. What is the use of your being American if you don't do something big for Krishna?" Yes? Whatever our propensities, whatever our conditionings, don't renounce them, purify them by using them in Krishna's service to broadcast the glories of the chanting of the holy name. Shamsundar Prabhu, he knew all, he liked rock and roll. And he knew all these rock and roll bands. So Prabhupada engaged him in setting up a concert in San Francisco with the biggest name rock and roll bands, who were the heroes of the whole society, performed a concert for Prabhupada. Thousands and thousands of people came, and the main part of the whole program was Prabhupada coming on stage, giving a lecture and chanting the holy names. Yes, Shamsundar Prabhu, something like that. So, to take whatever can be used in Krishna's service and dovetail it. That is the perfection of yoga. So he told the devotees of Kulinagram, every year, bring what is famous from your village, silk ropes, to serve Lord Jagannath. And then Lord Chaitanya became very serious and very emotional. And he said, from Kulinagram, a great devotee lived, Gunaraj Khan. Gunaraj Khan wrote a book named Sri Krishna Vijaya. And in that book, there is one line that reveals his ecstatic love for Krishna. Nanda Nandana Krishna Mora Prananath. Krishna, the son of Nanda Maharaj, is my life and soul. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, because he has written this line with pure love for Krishna, therefore all the descendants of Gunaraj Khan are my life and soul. In fact, even a dog from Kulinagram is most dear to my heart and will be delivered. That is the power of a devotee. That is the power of how a devotee's one sentence can conquer the heart of the Lord. Who is Gunaraj Khan? Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati explains. He was from a dynasty of very wealthy kings. He was a very, very wealthy man. He had, even today in Kulinagram, there are the ancient ruins of Gunaraj Khan's palace, his fort, and this huge estate of property. Prabhupada explains he was a very, very wealthy and very famous man. But yet he was so humble. He had no attachment whatsoever to aristocracy. He just wanted to serve. And not only that, he had 14 sons. Hare Krishna. Now some people will think, what kind of a devotee will have 14 sons and live in a palace and have a fort? As we're explaining, whatever the position we're in, we can utilize whatever we have and whoever we are for the service of the Lord with humility and devotion. And Gunaraj Khan had those qualities. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that all the descendants of Guru Gunaraj Khan are as dear to me as my very life. In fact, even a dog from the village of Kulinagram, where, because Gunaraj Khan is from that place, I will deliver even the dog. The devotee sacrifices everything for the Lord, and the Lord reciprocates in the most glorious way. That is love. One of the 14 sons, of Gunaraj Khan was named Satyaraj Khan. And his son was Ramananda Vasu. And they were before Lord Chaitanya. And Satyaraj Khan, after hearing the glories of his father, and after hearing the Lord's incredible benediction upon him and all of his family members, with folded hands, he asked a question to Lord Chaitanya. He said, "I am a very fallen householder, very much entangled and addicted to materialistic life. Please tell me how I can make spiritual progress in my condition." This is a personal, intimate associate of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu speaking. Trinadapi Sunichena. This is the humility of a devotee. I'm a very fallen householder, entangled by materialistic activities. Please tell me, where is my hope? How can I advance in spiritual life? And Lord Chaitanya gave his answer. He told Satyaraj Khan and all of the devotees that you should incessantly chant the holy names of Krishna. And whenever possible, serve the Lord and his devotees, the Vaishnavas. This is the instruction to all Grihasthas. To constantly chant the holy names of Krishna. And whenever possible. Now this is very important, two words. Whenever possible. That means we should always be looking, searching, groping for the opportunity to serve the Lord and his devotees, the Vaishnavas. Satyaraj Khan heard the words of the Lord and he took it very seriously. He said, "Yes, I should serve the Vaishnavas, but please tell me, Lord, how will I recognize who a Vaishnava is? What are his characteristics? What are his activities? Please tell me, who is a Vaishnava?" And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu replied, "Anyone who even once utters the holy name of Krishna is a devotee, a Vaishnava, in his topmost in humanity." And then Lord Chaitanya explained that when one chants the holy names of Krishna, even once, one becomes freed from all of his previous sinful acts. In fact, Lord Chaitanya said, one can fulfill and perfect all the 9 processes of devotional service simply by chanting the holy names. And there are no hard and fast rules for chanting the holy names of the Lord. In fact, the power and glory of the holy names is not even dependent on the taking of diksha. If one simply chants sincerely, with faith, giving up offenses, one will attain the perfection of life. Lord Chaitanya explained, by chanting the holy name of Krishna, one destroys all of his material entanglements. Attraction for Krishna, attachment for Krishna develops, and gradually love for Krishna awakens within the heart. So you can understand who a Vaishnava is because of his attachment to the chanting of the holy names. Srila Prabhupada explains that when the scriptures describe that by chanting Krishna's name even once, one is liberated of all sinful acts, and love of God and attachment for Krishna begin to awaken within the heart. In the beginning stages, Prabhupada explains, one must first learn to chant the holy names with faith. That faith comes by associating and hearing from devotees. In fact, the scriptures explain the various stages of our spiritual advancement is based on the development of faith. Faith and attachment to Krishna. Adosha tatata sadhu sangota bhajanakriya. At the beginning there's a little faith. But when we come in contact with the association of devotees and we begin to follow the path of bhajana kriya, the regulative principles of devotional service, gradually we develop in our faith. It is so very, very important to be faithful. If we have faith, we can overcome all obstacles. If we have little faith, even easy things become difficult in spiritual life. But if we have great faith, even impossible things become easy. There's a verse in Chaitanya Charitamrita that describes like this: for one who remembers Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu with faith, even the most impossible things are easy to achieve. But for one who does not remember the Lord with such faith, even easy things are very, very, very difficult. Srila Prabhupada had faith. He had faith in the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, faith in the order of his spiritual master, and faith in the power of the holy name. That's all he had. He had no money, he had no connections, he had no acquaintances, he had no facilities. He had a box of books and an entire unlimited treasure house of faith. And Prabhupada told us that. I had faith in the instructions of my spiritual master, and I had faith in the power of the holy name. And he had faith in Lord Chaitanya's prophecy that in every town and village throughout the world, my name will be chanted. And what was impossible became possible. 70 years old, heart patient, and he established an entire international society that to this day is still growing in wonderful ways. Power of faith. So we must learn to chant the holy names with faith. And what is that faith? Our faith must be established in the words of the scriptures. Padma Purana declares, Nama Chintamani Krishna Chaitanya Rasvigraha, that Krishna's holy name is non-different than Krishna. Krishna's pastimes, Krishna's form, Krishna's attributes, Krishna's abode, Krishna's associates, Krishna's mercy is full-fledged, non-different than the name of Krishna. But Krishna reveals the opulences of the name according to how we approach him, according to our faith. That the holy name of the Lord, Padma Purana describes, is Chintamani. What is the nature of Chintamani? It is the most precious of all jewels. Yes? Diamonds, rubies, emeralds, sapphires, and all of these so-called precious jewels of the world, can they actually fulfill your desires? Usually what they do is they only increase your desires and increase your fear, because so many people want to take them away from you. Yes? But Chintamani is the precious stone of the spiritual world. The dust of Braj is constituted of Chintamani. the maidservants of Vrindavan wear anklets of Chintamani stones. The Chintamani fulfills all one's innermost aspirations. It is touchstone. That is the power of the holy name. All of our soul's innermost eternal aspirations to know God and to love God are fulfilled by the causeless, inconceivable, supreme mercy of Harinam, the holy names. Nam nam akari bahuta nija sarva shaktis. Lord Chaitanya says, all the potencies and opulences of Krishna are within the name. And Krishna has so many names. He makes himself so accessible. And anyone can chant. There's no hard and fast rules. We have told that story about that devotee in Puri. He was so addicted to the chanting of the holy names. He was tasting so much nectar that his tongue just couldn't give it up. He was just always chanting Hare Krishna. But he was thinking, when he goes to respond to the powerful calls of nature, which is a polite way of saying in Bombay, going to the railway tracks. When those powerful influences, nature, came upon him, he was thinking, you know, when I'm passing urine and stool, I shouldn't be chanting the holy names. It's not proper, because Krishna is not different than his name. So he tried to stop, but he couldn't stop. His tongue was always chanting Hare Krishna. So he had a lota in one hand, and with his left hand, and with his right hand, he was trying to hold his tongue. Not easy. He was holding Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna, Hare Rama, Rama, Hare Hare, like that. Something like that. So this little boy saw him. And he came up to him and said, you know, what are you doing? Hare Krishna. He told him. He says, don't you know there's no hard and fast rules for the chanting of the holy names? This is what our Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has taught us. You can chant in holy names anywhere, in any situation. Yes? You can't bring the deity in the toilet and do puja. That's big offense. Big offense. But the deity of the holy name is willing to come everywhere and anywhere with you and reciprocate with your love. That is the supreme mercy of the holy names. So when that little boy told the man that, he said, oh, very nice. Hare Krishna, always chanting. And Lord Chaitanya happened to be watching that incident. And he put that boy on his lap and embraced him with so much love. And he became one of the most famous acharyas of our line, of Gaudiya Sampradaya. Gopal Guru Goswami, disciple of Vakreshwar Pandit. So to have faith in the power of the holy name, we must understand from the scriptures the sanctity of the name and hear from the lips of the devotees. And then we must avoid the offenses. When it is explained that by once uttering the holy name, we are liberated of all sins, and attachment to Krishna awakens in our heart, that is speaking of that one chanting of the name without offense. That is why Lord Chaitanya emphasized and Prabhupada emphasized Trinadapi Suniche Natharor Ivasihishnuna. To be humble like a blade of grass, tolerant like a tree, devoid of the desire for prestige to offer respects to others. Then we could chant the name of the Lord constantly. Because without that mentality, we can't really avoid the offenses of the holy name. If we have false pride, if we have a tendency to disrespect others, we are going to make offenses. We'll be driven into offenses. So we must very carefully avoid the offenses and simultaneously practice this principle. Lord Chaitanya said, take this verse of humility like the grass, put it on the string of the holy name and wear it always. And if you do that, on the string of that verse, if you chant the holy name even once, you will attain perfection. So Lord Chaitanya explained like this to the residents of Kulinagram. You should incessantly chant the holy name and serve a Vaishnav. And who is a Vaishnav? That person who even once chants the holy names of the Lord. Even a neophyte devotee, Prabhupada explains, if a neophyte devotee is faithfully trying to execute the orders of the spiritual master, he is to be considered a pure devotee. So anyone who's chanting the holy name, even once, is to be respected as Vaishnav. The next year, jumping a little ahead, the residents of Kulinagram asked the same question. One of the devotees said to Lord Chaitanya, I'm a very fallen soul. Please tell me, what is my duty in life? And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu replied, you should always serve the servants of Krishna and constantly chant his holy names. And the devotee from Kulinagram asked, how do I know who is a devotee of Krishna? And Lord Chaitanya gave the next step of understanding the higher realm of Vaishnavism. Last year he said, anyone who chants the name of Krishna even once is topmost amongst humanity and should be honored and worshipped. Yes. This year, Lord Chaitanya said that one who is constantly chanting the holy names of Krishna is a first-class Vaishnav. Yes? If you chant the name of Krishna once, you're a Vaishnav, which is topmost in humanity. If you're constantly chanting the holy names of Krishna, you are a first-class Vaishnav. Kirtaniya sada hari. Satatam kirtayanto mam yatantashchadritavrita. My devotees are constantly chanting my holy names and offering respectful obeisances unto me and endeavoring with great determination. Then the next year, they asked them the same question again. How do we achieve the goal of life? And Lord Chaitanya said, by serving the servants of the Lord, the Vaishnavas, and chanting the holy names. And they asked, well, how do we know who a Vaishnava is? And Lord Chaitanya explained the third year that the best amongst Vaishnavas is one whose very presence causes others to chant the holy names. Vaishnava is one who utters the name of Krishna once, topmost of humanity. First class Vaishnava is one who's always chanting the holy names. And the best of the Vaishnavas is one whose very presence causes others, induces others to chant the holy names of the Lord. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ordered Nityananda Prabhu and Advaita Prabhu to induce others to chant the holy names of the Lord. And Lord Chaitanya gave Nityananda Prabhu several of his best devotees to go with him, like Gadadhar Das and Abhiram Thakur. So after speaking to the residents of Kulinagram, Lord Chaitanya turned to Shivananda saying, should I continue?
No.
He turned to Shivananda saying, and he said to Shivananda saying with very deep affection and emotion, he said, please take care of Vasudev Dutt. Because Vasudev Dutt's a householder. He's a family man. But he's so generous that whatever income he earns every day, he immediately spends it by giving it to others. And Lord Chaitanya told Shivananda Sen that he has to save some money to maintain his family. But it's just not within his means to save anything. His family is under great inconvenience because anything he gets, he just gives away, gives away, gives away. Haribo! So Lord Chaitanya asked Shivananda Sen that you should become the manager for the finances of Vasudev Dutt and take care of things very nicely to make sure he takes care of his family properly. And then Lord Chaitanya said to Shivananda Sen, and every year, come to Jagannath Puri to visit with me and bring all the devotees with you. And you should be in charge of all of their maintenance. That's a very serious instruction. Shivananda saying, sometimes 200, 300, 400 devotees walking all the way from Navadweep. At that time, he was living in Kumarahatta, where Vasudev Dutt also lived, and he would come down to Navadweep and meet all the devotees, and he would arrange all the accommodations, all the food, he would pay all the tolls and the taxes, he would supply all the necessary protection for all the devotees every year, and he wasn't even a very wealthy man, but everything he had he used in the service of the Lord, and even though he's doing that, totally living for others, and he has a family with three sons, Lord Chaitanya is telling him, that's not enough. You should take care of the finances for Vasudev Dutt because he spends all his money and doesn't give any. He just gives it all away. Vasudev Dutt, on this occasion, he was sitting beside Lord Chaitanya in the assembly. And Lord Chaitanya began to glorify Vasudev Dutt as if he had 1,000 mouths. Now, when Lord Chaitanya would glorify his devotees, he would glorify them as if he had 5 mouths. Can you imagine that? The Supreme Personality of Godhead glorifying his devotee as if he has 5 mouths? So much love, so much enthusiasm. I'll give you some examples of how he glorified his devotees as if he had 5 mouths. The time. It's all right? He turned to Raghava Pandit. And he said, he just embraced Raghava Pandit. He was so pleased with him. You're so dear to me. And then he just started telling all the devotees the glories of Raghava Pandit. He said, he has a home in Panihati. And he has hundreds and hundreds of coconut trees. And every day he'll take 5 or 7 coconuts and clip them and bring them on the altar. And how does he offer them? Incredible. With such personal love. If he finds out that there's a sweeter coconut 20 miles away, he'll go all the way there, purchase it, and bring it back for his deities. That's how much he was pleasing his deities. Deity worship is not just ritualistic. It's not just, you know, be on time and get something down. Raghava Pandit showed the love. He was absolutely punctual. And what was his standard of cleanliness? Very difficult to understand. But we'll get to the cleanliness later, Lord Chaitanya describes. But understand the spirit of personal affection. that for his deity, only the very, very, very best. Hundreds of coconuts are on his land, and each one is sweet like nectar. But if he hears the, if he gets the news that there's even sweeter coconuts 20 miles away, and there was no rickshaws or what do you call them? Automobiles or trains or buses. He had to walk 20 miles. That's 40 miles round trip just to get a coconut for the deities. That's a little better than what you have. That was his spirit. He was not seeing the deity as wood or stone. He was seeing the deity as the Supreme Lord. Archye Vishno Shiladir Gurushu Naramatir Vaishnavi Jati Buddhi. What is the hellish mentality? To see the deity as made of wood or stone. To see the spiritual master as an ordinary person. Or to see the Vaishnav in categorization of mundane caste and creed. That is called hellish mentality according to the Vedas. So he had so much devotion. And he would click the coconuts. And he would bring them in and offer them. And the deities would drink the coconut water. Then he would take it off. And then he would break the coconuts open and scrape out the pulp. What do you call it in India? Huh? Malai. Something like that. Malai? Like that? Malai? He said Malai. It's Malai, I think. So, and then he'd take that and put it on a plate and offer it that again. And one time he saw his assistant pujari. The pujari was just about to bring the coconuts on the altar and his hand touched the top of the doorway. And Raghava Pandit was thinking, we walk on the floor. It may be that a breeze came and took some of the dust from the floor and brought it up to the top of the doorway. And he touched the top of the doorway, which was connected to the floor. And now he's touching the deity's plate. Therefore, the whole offering is contaminated, is not fit to offer to the Lord. And these were coconuts that he traveled 20 miles to get. He just took all those coconuts and threw them over a wall. They were unfit for the Lord. Raghava Pandit ki jai. Now, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati said he did not have some sort of cleaning phobia. Some people have like this disease where they're just always afraid of germs. Yes? They're just paranoid as anything is germs. They won't eat this, they won't touch that, they won't... He didn't have that. He just had so much love and devotion to his deity. Everything had to be absolute best and pure as possible. And Lord Chaitanya, who is the deity himself, he respected and honored the sentiments, the feelings, and the purpose of Raghava Pandit's heart so much that he was praising Raghava Pandit for his standard of worshipping the deity in the temple as if he had five mouths. Sitting close by was Murari Gupta. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said to all the devotees, I want you to understand the humility and the love of Murari Gupta. Lord Chaitanya embraced him and wept upon him out of love. He said, this Murari Gupta, he's a devotee of Lord Ram. And on a regular basis, I would tell Murari Gupta that Krishna is the essence of all sweetness. Krishna's pastimes, Krishna's beauty, Krishna's flute is the supreme sweet mellows of the absolute truth. Krishna is the source of all incarnations. All other avatars are emanating from him. He is the origin and he is Rasaraj. His pastimes are most beautiful and most pleasing with the most intimate love. So please, take the name of Krishna and worship Krishna. After speaking many times to Murari Gupta like this, He said to me, yes, you are my master. I must obey your order. And that night he went back to his home, and Murari Gupta, he was praying in his heart, O Lord Ram, Sri Raghunath, I have already offered my head at your lotus feet. I don't have the heart. I have no power to take it back and give it to anyone else. I'm yours. In this way, Murari Gupta was thinking, if I cannot follow the order of my master, better I die. And he stayed up all night weeping, praying that death would come. And the next morning, Murari Gupta came to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and cast his head at the lotus feet of Mahaprabhu, grabbing onto those lotus feet in great, great desperation. And weeping and weeping and weeping, he revealed his mind to the Lord. He said, my Lord, it is impossible for me to worship anyone but Lord Sri Ramchandra. I've already given him my heart, my soul, my very life. But yet if I cannot follow your order, how can I live? So please, let me die. And Lord Chaitanya, while explaining this incident to the devotees, became very emotional. And he said, I lifted up Murari Gupta and I embraced him with great pleasure. And I said, Murari, O Gupta, your love is pure and chaste. I just wanted to test you to see what is the quality of your love for Sri Ramchandra. Blessed is that devotee, Lord Chaitanya said, who never ever gives up the worship of the lotus feet of his worshipable Lord. And blessed is that Lord who, if the devotee does fall away, he drags him back by the hair. That's why we have these sikkhas, just in case. Lord Chaitanya said to Murari Gupta, this is no surprise that you are speaking this way, because you are the incarnation of Hanuman. And your love for Sri Ramchandra is pure and chaste. The Lord was simply testing him. Actually, the Lord simply wanted to reveal the glories of Murari Gupta's love for Sri Ram to the whole world, and he glorified him as if he had five mouths. Now we'll get back to where we started. When he began to discuss Vasudev Dutt, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu began to speak his glories as if he had 1,000 mouths. Why is this? He was glorifying Vasudev Dutt. As far as a businessman, he already revealed that he was quite unconventional and not very adequate. Shivananda Sen had to take care of his personal finances. But what was his heart? Mahaprabhu was glorifying him as if he had 1,000 mouths. And hearing this put Vasudev Dutt in such a state of humility, he had to reveal his heart. He said, my Lord, I have a desire within my heart that I have been holding on to for many, many long days. You are the Supreme Lord Krishna. You have the power to fulfill anyone's desire because you are completely independent. I beg you, I pray to you. There's only one desire in my heart. Please fulfill it. And then he spoke with tears in his eyes. He said, when I see the living entities in this world, suffering due to forgetfulness of you, my heart breaks. I cannot tolerate seeing the sufferings of others. Please grant me this benediction. Let all the sinful reactions of every living entity within the entire universe fall upon my head. Let me suffer hellish conditions perpetually. But liberate all living entities and bring them back home, back to Godhead to enjoy with you. This is my only desire. Such compassion. Vasudev Dat understood the essence of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission of coming to this world. To show compassion to the fallen souls. Vasudev Dat's, his love was to take the karma of everyone, not only his family members, not only his community, not only his countrymen and women, not even humanity. That was nothing for him, just to deliver humanity. Every living entity. That means every tree, every grasshopper, the insects, the lizards, the snakes. How many of you like snakes? Vasudev Dat loved the snakes so much. He was willing to go to hell to take all of their karma and send them back to Godhead. And even the rats and the fish and the bacterias and all the varieties of birds and beasts and every class of human beings. The pious, the impious, the criminals, the demons. He had so much love for the soul in every living entity's heart that he wanted to take the karmic reactions and the sins of all of them and suffer perpetually in hell so that they can all be with Krishna in the spiritual world chanting the holy name. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu heard the sincere prayer of Vasudev Dat, tears were pouring from his eyes. His heart melted with softness. His voice was so choked up with emotion that he could not even speak for some time. Vasudev Dat's compassion to other living beings literally conquered the mind, the senses, and the heart of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Absolute Truth. He was crying. And finally, with a faltering voice, Lord Chaitanya began to speak. He said, Vasudev Dat, it is not a surprise. It is not astonishing that you are speaking in this way because you are none other than the incarnation of Prahlad Maharaj, who also prayed in a similar way to Lord Narasimhadev when he was offered any benediction. Then Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told Vasudev Dat, please listen carefully. I know I'm putting you all to sleep. Please listen carefully. He said that because you have this compassionate spirit to make sacrifices for other living beings, I can understand that you have received the complete mercy of Lord Krishna. This is the declaration of the Lord. The symptom of one who has really received and accepted the mercy of Lord Krishna is their willingness to undergo great difficulties for the welfare and benefit of others. That is the sign of mercy of Krishna. Passing your exams is a little mercy. Getting a good placement and a good job in a company is a little mercy. Getting a very chaste and faithful wife or a very responsible and distinguished husband is a little mercy. Getting lots of money to be used, you know, for relatives, friends, and charity and Krishna service, it's a little mercy also. Having good health, getting cured of diseases, it's a little mercy. But what is real mercy? What is the full mercy? The full mercy is when we have this desire in our heart so much in the spirit of servant of the servant of the servant to undergo difficulties for the spiritual welfare of others. Now, we cannot artificially imitate Vasudev Dutt. But we can understand that one who has that compassion, one who has that spirit to assist the Lord in His mission of mercy when He comes to this world, is so dear to the Lord that the Lord glorifies that devotee as if he has 1,000 mouths. Now, our beloved godbrother and friend Shamsundar Prabhu has inspired our hearts to glorify Prabhupada at Cross Maidan in February with a wonderful, wonderful festival to glorify Srila Prabhupada's life, his legacy, and his teachings, and the wonderful culture he established throughout the world. That is his love. Now, Lord Chaitanya, from this story of Vasudev Dutt, it is our humble and honest opinion that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally is glorifying Prabhupada as if he has 1,000 mouths. Srila Prabhupada ki! And by our sincere efforts to distribute his books, to be exemplary representatives of him in our own lives, to have such a wonderful festival, in this way, we're trying to be instruments of maybe one of the mouths of Lord Chaitanya. And that's what this festival is about. Just trying to do everything we can to just help Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu glorify Srila Prabhupada in the world. Because the more Prabhupada is glorified, the more people will respect his teachings. The more people that will respect his teachings will honor his followers, read his books. And what will take place then? They will develop faith in the Yuga Dharma of the chanting of the holy names, and they will...
Krishna, 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 Krishna.
Much louder, please. But Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told Murari Gup, Vasudev Dutt, there's no reason for you to go to hell perpetually. Because your desire is so pure, so genuine, that Krishna will deliver the universe and you don't have to suffer at all. It is no problem for Krishna. Just in the courtyard, we have an Udambara tree. Have you all seen that? Very ancient, old tree. Probably centuries old, Udambara tree. And you'll see, during certain times of the years, there's so many little fruits. They're always falling. Those of you who take prasad in the courtyard, sometimes the fruits fall on your head, yes? Or sometimes they fall in your prasad. Or sometimes they're just all over the place. Arivo.
Those are Udambara fruits.
Very small. Udambara tree has so many thousands and thousands of fruits.
Lord Chaitanya said, if an Udambara tree loses one fruit, it's not a problem.
Similarly, Krishna can do away with one universe. There are so many universes. He'll deliver everyone
on your desire, Vasudev Dat. That is the power of the love of a devotee.
Without great Vaishnavas praying for us,
what is our hope? The prayers of the Vaishnavas are so powerful.
The instructions of the Vaishnavas are so powerful.
Why? Because they attract the mercy of Krishna upon us. And therefore Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught us by his example and his words that we should never feel ourselves great. We should always feel ourselves very humble beggars. Whether we're Gunaraj Khan with palaces and forts and beautiful gardens and estates, very, very wealthy person with 14 sons, or whether we're Kulavecha Sridhar just selling some bark from the banana tree, living in poverty. What is all important is that humble spirit of begging the Lord, begging the Vaishnavas for their mercy. Narottam Das Thakur said, the food that nourishes my life spiritually is the dust of the feet of the Goswamis. Now physically, we may eat rotis and it may nourish us. Or some people may eat Ayurvedic raw foods or something like that. But that does not touch your soul. What is the nourishment of the soul? The dust of the feet of the Vaishnavas. That means begging for the service of the Vaishnavas, begging for the blessings and the mercy of the Vaishnavas. And who is a Vaishnava? One who chants the name of Krishna once. And better than that is one who is always chanting the holy names. And better than that is that Vaishnava who by his mere presence causes others to chant the holy names. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai! To beg for the mercy of Vaishnavas. Those who live in a spirit of compassion to others are the caretakers of the mercy of the Lord within this world. So in this way, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu very, very, very affectionately praised and reciprocated with the love of each of his devotees. And then with much, much difficulty, he gave the Jagannath Prasad and the cloth to Srivas and sent all the Vaishnavas back to Bengal. And they all left with deep feelings of gratitude and love in separation for the Lord. But they always felt the presence of the Lord in each other's association, and especially in the congregational chanting of the holy name. This is Vaishnav culture. Vaishnav culture is to create a society where the inner sentiments that are demonstrated between the love of the Lord and his devotees and the qualities that are manifested becomes the standards we're striving to live by individually and in all of our relationships. Lord Chaitanya repeatedly explained to the residents of Kulinagram, just be the servant of Krishna and chant the holy name constantly. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu actually said in this regard, if you just do these two things, you will achieve the perfection of love of Krishna and the goal of life. Thank you very much. Would you like to speak something, please? We have with us Tranakarta Prabhu, one of Prabhupada's most favorite mridanga players, a very loyal, dedicated book distributor in the 70s, and a very wonderful Vaishnav, loyal disciple of Prabhupada, and a very, very dear friend of mine. Let us welcome him to Sri Radha Gopinath Temple. And we have Pragosh Prabhu, who's been, by the inconceivable will of Sri Radha Gopinath, he has been given us his divine association for about the past 8 months. And we're so grateful for that. He's one of the most enthusiastic, divinely inspired devotees. Let us welcome him to Sri Radha Gopinath. Actually, I don't know why I'm welcoming you, because you're here much more than I am. We're just expressing our love for you, that's all. And Shamsundar Prabhu, Prabhupada's very, very favorite associate. Not only was he that person who just could do the impossible due to faith in Prabhupada's mercy, just cross all boundaries of what's reasonable, and just open centers, giant programs, going to the most influential leaders of the world and making them devotees. Unbelievable person. But another thing is Srila Prabhupada just loved to be with Shamsundar Prabhu. He was just a person, Prabhupada, just personally, intimately, just was so happy just being with him. Intimate associate. Let us offer our love and gratitude to Shamsundar. If each of you would like to speak a few words, we will be very grateful. Tranakarta Prabhu, why don't you and Pragosh, and why don't all three of you come and sit here, please?
I should be welcoming you. Hare Krishna. His Holiness Radhana Swami has a special gift for simultaneously making you feel completely comfortable. I mean, more comfortable than you could imagine being anywhere. And at the very same moment, feeling completely uncomfortable. And I wonder how that is. That is such a special gift. Comfortable in that, and I'm sure Shamsundar Prabhu and Tranakarta also can say the same thing, that, and I said this before, he always seems to pick out only something he can glorify in a devotee. He never looks for the fault. In the material world, relationships are, usually they start off with a big bang as people discover one another and think this is perfection. And then later on, they think, oh, this, just see, it's not perfect. It's just like a politician is elected, and the moment he's elected, The day after he's elected, the newspapers begin to tear him down. Isn't it? And everyone tries to get there first. I was the first one to recognize what a rascal this person is. They want to take credit. The relationship between man and woman, they have a term for that. They call it a lover's quarrel. Right? Which becomes then eventually becomes a nuclear war. And each one tries to cite why this relationship should be dissolved. The son is looking for a reason to escape the father's authority, right? To disregard the father. The religionist is looking for a reason to disregard the scripture. It's like that. But I can honestly say that Radhanath Maharaj, and I can say it to you directly. Now I'll make you feel uncomfortable. That you have made me always feel here in Chaupati so valued, which is a true gift. It's a reflection of how Krishna actually sees every living being. One of my godbrothers, I won't say his name, but he told me a funny story once, that Srila Prabhupada had said to him, "So-and-so Maharaj, the temple presidents, they don't like you. The GBC, they don't like you. And the ladies, they definitely don't like you." And he said, "But I like you." One of my godbrothers also told me a very beautiful story. In Japan, one of Srila Prabhupada's Grihastha disciples purchased a very, very nice watch for Srila Prabhupada. And he gave this gift to Srila Prabhupada. And later in that afternoon, Srila Prabhupada was receiving a massage from Sudama Swami in Japan. He wasn't a sannyasi at the time, but he became a sannyasi when I met him. He was a sannyasi and he told me this story. So Srila Prabhupada, I had the good fortune, I'm sure Shyamasundara had this fortune 100 times if he had it once, but I only had this opportunity once in my life. And that was to be in Srila Prabhupada's presence when he was receiving a massage from Hari Sari Prabhu. And Srila Prabhupada was sitting there with his hands like this, and his body was kind of rocking, and his eyes were closed. And I was seated about 3 feet in front of Srila Prabhupada. And as you can only imagine, when some devotees, they were covered by Srila Prabhupada by some kind of special maya, some kind of yoga maya that allowed them, just like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, his father would chastise his son for not going to school or for trying to say that he went to school when he didn't go to school. Sometimes Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would put ink all over his hands. He would play all day and then put ink on his hands, or maybe on his dhoti. So when he came home, he could then lie. His father would say, "You didn't go to school." And he said, "Yes, I did. Look at the ink all over my hands." And his father would chastise him. "No, you rascal." And he would punish him. So some of his friends actually said, "You know, I don't think it's wise of you to do this. Nilambar Chakravarti has explained, just by looking at his chart, that he's a very exalted personality, perhaps even a demigod." And his father said, "He may be whoever he is, but right now he's my son, and I am duty bound to chastise him." So he was covered by some type of mystic power that allowed him to relate with Lord Chaitanya like this, as if he was his son and he required correction and chastisement? So Srila Prabhupada, I think somehow or other, he had this, of course he had a need to get certain things done. And for that, some of his disciples had to be able to take very, very close dealings with Srila Prabhupada. And they had to be able to be chastised by Srila Prabhupada in a very, sometimes very strong manner. Or they had to be able to work very, very hard for Srila Prabhupada at the expense of so many other more, perhaps more pleasurable things. And for that, they were then allowed in Srila Prabhupada's immediate company. And we used to watch, Charanakarta can say this, we used to watch our god brothers deal with Srila Prabhupada in a very intimate way. Come in, speak with him, so on like that. Whereas if Srila Prabhupada even looked at us, if he looked at us, we couldn't breathe. It was true. If he asked you a question, you'd stutter. Your voice would go really high, like a child. Well, Srila Prabhupada, isn't it? So I was sitting in front of Srila Prabhupada, and he was speaking about the Second World War. And he was giving a very interesting, detailed history. Some aspects of the history between the British and Germany. Very casual conversation. And I was sitting there, my mind was racing. And I was thinking, oh my God, I've been waiting to be with Srila Prabhupada for a whole year. And now I'm sitting in his room, in his presence, in front of him. And he's receiving a massage. And he's talking about the Second World War. And I can't remember one word to the next that he's saying. I thought my brain had completely shut off. And I was in such awe. Just like we sing in the morning. You know, we worship the words of the spiritual master. We bow down to his lotus feet with great awe and reverence. So, Srila Prabhupada had his eyes closed. And suddenly he looked up at me and said, is that a good proposal? And I went into shock. Because I thought, well, if I say yes, I could be wrong. If I say no, I could be wrong. What do I say? I have to behave as if I'm listening. So I'm standing there, and Prabhupada's looking at me, and he went, no, it is not a good proposal. And I went, no, of course not. And I thought about it later. I was amazed at the whole experience. That I shut down. Which, believe it or not, that mood with the spiritual master and Krishna and the devotees is actually very beneficial. It's not negative. It's positive. Because then it makes us careful. And also it makes us very grateful. We remember even the smallest detail of some little opportunity that we had to associate with the devotees. We see it all connected to our spiritual master and to Krishna. And we remain very grateful. Why? Otherwise, how is it possible that grown men, 30-year-old, 35-year-old grown men in Prabhupada's presence, when he would, at the end of a kirtan, they would bring some little plate of cookies, and he would take this cookie and he would hand it to someone. And the person would put out their hand and take this cookie and then look at this cookie as if they had just received something from God himself, which in fact he had. But to the materialist, they would look at that and think, looks very strange. Right? Very odd that a person would have such reverence for a cookie. You can go to the grocery store. There are rows of cookies. There are hundreds of kinds of cookies. There are fancy cookies. There are simple cookies. There are plain cookies. There are sugar cookies. There are salty cookies. There are all kinds of cookies. And any man with a little money in his pocket can go and get an entire box of cookies. And instead, this 35-year-old man is, with great awe and reverence, looking at this cookie, and then later, just eating this cookie piece by piece. So, Srila Prabhupada, he had that way of bringing you in, or of keeping you in a mood of absolute awe and reverence. So, Sudama told me that Prabhupada was being massaged, and I could envision this later, that Prabhupada was being massaged and he had his eyes closed. But Sudama noticed, he was giving the massage, and he noticed that Prabhupada had on a new watch. And so he said, Srila Prabhupada, where did you get that beautiful watch? That's a new watch. And Prabhupada had his eyes closed and he was getting a massage. And the devotee who had given Srila Prabhupada the watch was seated in front of him, to the right a little bit. He had his eyes closed and he said, oh. And he opened and he looked right at the devotee and he said, from someone special. And then he closed his eyes again. And that devotee told me that at that moment, he felt as if Prabhupada had reached in to his heart and ripped out his heart and claimed it for his own. And that devotee felt that Prabhupada had just completely taken, captured him forever. And he thought, not only do I want to give Prabhupada a watch, but I want to give him my whole life. Huh? Hare Krishna. So, I have noted this wonderful, wonderful quality of our God brother. In that, he values everyone's effort to serve Srila Prabhupada very, very much. Everyone here, you should know it, that you are every bit as valuable to Lord Krishna, to Lord Chaitanya, to Srila Prabhupada, to Maharaj, and to all the devotees, as anyone who has ever set foot in the temple, anywhere in the world. The devotees asked Prabhupada one time, how do we know that we're pleasing you? And Prabhupada said, what this question was related to Srila Prabhupada by his senior men. And Prabhupada said, you should ask them, are they chanting their rounds? Are they chanting their rounds? And if they say yes, then they should know it, that they're pleasing me. Also, Srila Prabhupada took tremendous delight in reading his own books, which he himself said were not actually written by Krishna. I mean by himself, but were written by Krishna. I was with Srila Prabhupada on more than one occasion when the devotees would say, Srila Prabhupada, there'd be a long pause in his room. And no one knew what to say or ask Srila Prabhupada. So someone raised their hand and said, Srila Prabhupada, should we read to you from one of your books? And Prabhupada said, oh, that would be very nice. And then the devotee, on one occasion, the devotee walked over to the bookshelf and said, turned then to Prabhupada and said, which one? And Srila Prabhupada said, anyone, they are all sweet. And it was very interesting because he just grabbed a book at random. Srila Prabhupada was suffering from a very bad cold. So he wasn't very talkative. He didn't have a lot of energy to speak. So the devotees sat before him for about 15 minutes. After some time, no one knew what to do. We started chanting japa. Prabhupada didn't object to that, so we continued to chant japa. Then when he did ask, Prabhupada said, yes, that is nice. He got the Chaitanya Charitamrita, brought the Chaitanya Charitamrita over, opened it at random, and it was the disappearance pastime of Haridas Thakur. I was seated in front of Prabhupada's desk. This devotee was seated on the other side in front of his desk. He began reading. He read three verses in English and then thought, perhaps I should read the Bengali. So he said, Srila Prabhupada, do you want me to read the Bengali also? And Srila Prabhupada said, oh, that would be super excellent. So he began reading the Bengali. After about seven verses of Bengali in English, Srila Prabhupada looked at me sitting in front of him and said, he reads Bengali very excellently, doesn't he? And I thought, I don't know Bengali from Greek. But I said, yes, Srila Prabhupada. Super excellent. If he had said he doesn't read very nice, does he? I would have said, no, no. Doesn't. Just agreed. I learned by now. Just agree. So Srila Prabhupada had this way of making everyone feel valued in the very, what would seem as if it was insignificant. One Mataji in Chicago, you probably remember this, Tranakarta. Prabhupada was in Darshan. And there was a couple there that had been coming to the temple for some time. They had one child, I think. And Srila Prabhupada asked the husband if he was reading, studying our books. First he asked, are you chanting? They said, yes. He said, are you reading? He said, yes. He said, what are you studying? He said, well, I've read Bhagavad Gita. Now I'm reading Srimad Bhagavatam. Prabhupada said, oh, that's very good. Then he looked at the wife and he said, you're also reading our books? And she said, she was very sheepish, but she admitted, well, Srila Prabhupada, between taking care of the house and my babies, and honestly, I'm not that attracted to philosophy. And Srila Prabhupada said, that's all right. She said, but I am chanting. And Prabhupada said, that's very good. So then Prabhupada went back to speaking a little longer, and then she interrupted Prabhupada. She raised her hand. And she said, Srila Prabhupada? And Prabhupada looked back at her and he said, yes. She said, I do like Krishna book. And Prabhupada said, that's all you need. A Krishna book. Just like that. He said, that's all you need. And of course, the whole room erupted. Jai!
Jai!
Much better than that.
Jai!
Just like that. The whole room exploded. And the beautiful thing about Srila Prabhupada was that whenever he did or said anything that got that kind of reaction from the devotees, he immediately would reciprocate with a huge smile, as if it was the first time he had ever been encouraged by the devotees. It was so wonderful to see him take delight in how he had pleased the devotees, how he had satisfied the devotees. Once in the airport, one reporter asked Srila Prabhupada a number of questions in regards to the position of the women in Vedic culture. And the reporter, a lady reporter, was not particularly satisfied by Srila Prabhupada's answers. She couldn't accept his reasoning. So finally Srila Prabhupada said, it's a simple thing. It's not complicated. A 16-year-old boy can travel all over the world unmolested. But a 16-year-old woman, she cannot do that. A 16-year-old girl cannot do that. And the reporter looked at Srila Prabhupada and then said, well, now moving on to another subject, Srila Prabhupada. I think she called him Swamiji. She said, no, she called him Your Excellency. She said, Your Excellency. She said, moving on to another subject, Your Excellency. And she said, and she started to ask him a question, and all the devotees laughed because she was trying to avoid the fact that Prabhupada had defeated her. Prabhupada was describing the natural subordinate position of the woman to the man. So Prabhupada said, what is that? Because all the devotees laughed. Prabhupada said, what is that? And he looked at Shrutikirti, who was at that time the servant. He said, what is that? And Shrutikirti simply said, I think you've defeated her, Srila Prabhupada. And Prabhupada looked back at her and paused for a second, looked straight in her eyes and smiled and said, naturally. And everyone, just like you, just laughed and just so delighted, because Prabhupada defeated her naturally but did not make her feel small. And suddenly she felt, you could see it in her face, she felt welcomed into the family by the devotees. She got the little smack from the guru. She was special. He took the time to change her heart, you see? And she kind of got blushed and got happy. It was a wonderful moment, a very touching, simple moment. One time when Prabhupada arrived in the airport in Hawaii, he came down the escalator. All the devotees were there. There were so many garlands being given to Prabhupada that it just pretty soon it was, you couldn't see Prabhupada's face or his head. And one lady came up to Prabhupada, tears coming down her eyes. Who knows how long she'd been waiting to see Srila Prabhupada. And she walked up and she said, Srila Prabhupada, could I offer you this garland? And Srila Prabhupada said, certainly. And then he went, wait. And he started taking off garlands. Took one and gave it to one sannyasi. Took one, gave it to another. Took one, gave it to another. Took one, gave it to another. Then took one off and held it in his hand. And stepped forward. And she put the garland on Srila Prabhupada. And Prabhupada said, come. And she stepped forward and Prabhupada put the garland on her head. And then he went like this. Like this on her head. And you could see that she felt absolutely electrified the moment Srila Prabhupada just touched the top of her head and went like this. Said, Hare Krishna. And she said, thank you, Srila Prabhupada. And she was crying. And all the devotees, you could see all the devotees just sort of surround her and welcome her in. So this is how Radhanath Swami has made me feel here. And I'm very grateful. And also all of you. Well, I hate when this happens. Must be the chemotherapy. Right? It's the drugs. I apologize. Because I'm nowhere near enough advanced in Krishna consciousness to actually yet shed tears of ecstasy. Some lifetime, perhaps. But I do want to say, there, it's past. Hare Krishna. Thank you. I do want to say, from the core of my heart, thank you to all of you for all your efforts to follow Radhanath Swami. With each step that you take, as he encourages you, as he cajoles you, as he sweet talks you into giving your life to Srila Prabhupada, you are unknowingly, you are the recipients of the most wonderful mercy and the most wonderful opportunity in Krishna consciousness. Maharaj handles the devotees like a mother or father handles their children. Even Al Capone's mother thought he was a pretty wonderful person. Even you read here in India, they capture some bandits or there's another word they use for them. Huh? Gundas, yeah. They capture. Recently I saw one cover of one magazine or paper that they'd shot one bandit that had terrorized one part of India for some time, for many, many years. They recently got him in South India. And I was thinking, at the moment that I saw this, I thought, This man was probably only loved by his mother. Huh? She doesn't see what he is doing. And she would probably come up with an excuse. You right? It's not so bad. Yeah, but he killed 41 people, but it's not 81. He could have been 80, but he was more compassionate. You see, you don't see what I see. He's a good boy. Even Hitler's mother probably thought, he's just a frustrated artist. Right? Hitler was an artist. He's just a frustrated artist. So mother and father, they see like that. The child makes a little effort and they just think it's wonderful. They cook something for the mother and father. It tastes abominable. And the father is there, oh, this is delicious. How did you cook this, my darling daughter? Well, I just used salt and water and flour. That's delicious. Make me some more. So I have taken note of this quality in you. That for your, in your regards to yourself, you're very, very strong and stern. But in regards to everyone else, you're very, very accommodating and encouraging. And it shows. And I've never seen anything like the Chaupati temple. The night of the full moon of the Sharad season, who can forget that night? Huh? And the way their lordships were decorated. I will never forget that. Never. In fact, I have a beautiful photograph of that. But the way in which all of the devotees from Dwarkadish Prabhu, Murliadhar Prabhu, all of the devotees here, all of the brahmacharis, their service attitude, incredible. Now, as Srila Prabhupada used to say, don't become complacent. So Prabhupada used to come to a temple. After 1 year, he'd say, I'll come there if you double book distribution. Right? Or he wrote a letter 1 year, I think it was in 75 or 76, when the devotees were having ratyatras in some cities, and even there was some fear that these ratyatras may conflict. Srila Prabhupada said, well, I'll go to the ratyatra there if you defeat them in book distribution. Otherwise, I'm going there. His idea was he would always try to stimulate the devotees to increase. So to whatever extent this temple has achieved great heights in being servant of the servant of the servant, which is going in seemingly two different directions, great heights in becoming the servant of the servant of the servant. Now, you have to increase it. Never think that we've achieved the pinnacle of that. Increase it. Become even more the servant of the servant of the servant. Because it's going to be needed. Because when I'm done speaking with you, Shamsundar Prabhu is going to speak. And he's going to be requesting more service from you than any of the Prabhus have been providing me up in their little room. He's going to be begging for a tremendous amount of assistance to fulfill this new Cross Maidan festival here in Bombay. So, this is the fertile ground. Prabhupada said, didn't he say that Cross Maidan festival the first time, if that comes off successfully, then a revolution of Krishna consciousness will take place all across India? So that festival occurred, and look at what's happened here. So it was true. Right? This temple here is proof. In fact, so powerful are the words of a pure devotee, Prabhupada came out of giving a lecture here at Bharatiya Vidya Bhavan and just happened to look up and say, this is a very nice area. There should be a temple here. And he pointed. And now, there's a temple here. So we can only imagine. We can't imagine if this is what has manifest now. We can only begin to imagine what will come of the future. Srila Prabhupada brought this potency. Maharaj is carrying this potency. He has committed to that potency. And it is now distributed to all of you, which is obvious. And I just want to say thank you for giving me this wonderful opportunity to serve and be served in this very, very transcendental environment in the company of Maharaj and all of his sincere devotees. It has changed me in ways that I still am not fully conscious, but I am infused with a desire to take what I have been given and share it with every devotee. Speaking of five mouths, I'm going to say something else.
Sorry.
But I have to. Maharaj has a nice quality that I found desperately needed all over Srila Prabhupada's mission. Desperately needed in order to change the world. And I'm not trying to make you feel uncomfortable, but I think it's important. He is very reluctant to entertain any kind of discussion which would involve highlighting anything negative about a devotee, about a situation, about anything. And remains quiet and then speaks something very, very positive. Doesn't act like he hasn't heard what may be a consideration, even a legitimate consideration. But hears it, and then kind of, my grandfather used to talk of one of his friends that he liked to go fishing with. And the reason he liked to go fishing with this particular friend was because no matter where they went, he could find the fish. Whereas everybody else could go and come back empty-handed, somehow or other, this friend, he just knew how to find the fish. Or he was lucky, one of the two. You see? See, I used to always love to go fishing with this particular guy. But Maharaj is always fishing for the good. Always. So I think we should all give Maharaj a big collective Haribo. Haribo! Haribo! I wanted to do that so badly. But I didn't want to do it on the day during the week when there was hardly anyone here. So I got the opportunity. So everyone should be like that. Look for, search for the good in your god brother, your god sister. Don't entertain any discussions about the bad. Our god brother Jayananda, huh? You remember, I was with him twice when I saw him do this. Prasadam was given or arranged, but it was only one preparation. A big potato subji. You know, for so many brahmacharis. And somebody said, this is it? And Jayananda immediately said, yes, but there's so much of it. So much of it. He immediately found something wonderful to glorify. And immediately we looked at this prasadam and we, for some reason or other, his words were empowered. And never had a potato tasted so delicious. And never had it satisfied so many. So that unique, beautiful quality was there in Srila Prabhupada, it's there in Maharaj, and it can be there in all of us if we just go fishing for it. We just grab it. And we hold on to it. So I ask for the blessings of all the devotees, all of you, that you can give me this blessing. That, because actually one devotee told me that if you speak ill of another, you will inherit that quality that you are speaking ill of. I don't know where they said, they quoted this from scripture somewhere. But they also said, but if you speak well of another and you glorify their quality, then you'll get that quality. So I want that quality. I'm boldly telling you that. I want that quality. I'm asking all of you to please collectively give me this blessing. That beyond just being cured of my cancer, I could more importantly be cured of any spiritual cancer that would allow me to ever see anything other than the absolute good in anyone who has even once, as Maharaj said today, chanted the holy name. So I would ask that all of you please give me this blessing with a big collective Hari Bol. I accept that as your blessing. Thank you very, very much. Hare Krishna.
If you want to experience how it was when Srila Prabhupada was personally on this planet, because the enthusiasm and the dedication of the devotees here is very, very super excellent, without a doubt. Srila Prabhupada, he built a house in which the whole world could live. And for some reason or other, we were selected and we were so mercifully chosen as ones to spread this mission of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and the beautiful holy names of Lord Krishna all over the world. So it's like a fisherman who casts his net out, and why do those certain fish get caught? Who can say? Who can say the reason why we were selected to be here and spread this Krishna, help spread this Krishna consciousness movement all over the world? And you can tell something, but you can tell the result of something by the people who are practicing this Krishna consciousness. You can tell the result from all of you is that you're all so enthusiastic, and you're all also have the qualities. I see that in all of you. Have the qualities that Srila Radhanath Swami has exhibited to all of us. You all have that quality of seeing the goodness in everybody, and it's very wonderful. It's like Srila Prabhupada was walking one time, I think it was in New York City or somewhere, and Srila Prabhupada would like to tell different stories, Bengali stories. And Prabhupada said, if you see a man and he is well fit, he has a nice belly, you can ask that man, where did you get your goods? Because you know he's eating nicely and he's living nicely. So as Prabhupada was telling the story, a man walked out of a store onto the sidewalk and he had a big belly. And Prabhupada said, where do you get your goods? So you can tell by how all the devotees here in Chaupati are so kind and so enthusiastic to preach Krishna consciousness all over the world. I was very fortunate in Chicago because there were so many devotees always coming through who were very fired up to preach Krishna consciousness, to distribute Srila Prabhupada's books. I was a Chicago devotee there many years, and I was fortunate to have Pragosh Prabhu's association. He was, I believe you were with Tripurari's. He was with Tripurari Swami's book distribution party. So Pragosh might not remember because he was always so much immersed in distributing Prabhupada's books. And he might not realize how much he inspired all of us devotees to distribute Prabhupada's books. Because he had the gift to be able to penetrate people's hearts and to give them Prabhupada's books, and to see that in action flowed over onto all of us. So I have to give also Pragosh so much credit for even books that I personally distributed. And I want to thank you, Prabhu, for your association and kindness and guidance in all these years of distributing Srila Prabhupada's books. So we're all very fortunate here to be here, and let's take advantage of this opportunity. I've been blessed also to come at this time. I really didn't know where I was going to go when I came to India. I've been in South India for a month, and I decided to come up to Chopati because I wanted to see all of you and, of course, my dear friend Radhanath Swami. But I was fortunate to meet that Shyama Sundar Prabhu had come the day after I arrived. And really, Shyama Sundar Prabhu and I have not really known each other that well. I think I met him one time in India long ago, because we were always on the opposite sides of the world. But now, by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, I can try to help him in some way with this Cross Madan program. So I offered my humble services, even though I'm like a spider throwing a grain of sand. But whatever I can do to serve him in this project, I will, and I will stay here until it's completed. So I ask for all the blessings of all the devotees to be able to do this and serve very nicely here in Chopati and make this festival really something special for Srila Prabhupada. And Prabhupada he knew all of our hearts. He knows all of our hearts. He knows everything. It was amazing how Prabhupada could take a little spark of goodness in a person and fan that little spark. And from that little spark, that person would illuminate Krishna consciousness. He would become attached to the holy names of Krishna. And so he knows all of your hearts. He knows all of our hearts. And somehow or another, we have to make our desires one with his. And we can do wonderful things for this world. This world's in a very precarious position. So we can try to help spread these holy names all over the world. So thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
Shanakarta Prabhu ki jai.
I'm surrounded on all sides by all these boys from Chicago. Even our own Radhanath Goswami from Chicago. And they love to talk, don't they? But I'll try to keep it a little bit shorter. They like to have fun too. And this is one of the blessings of being in this whole situation is the fun that we have every day together, sharing devotional service within a spirit of amusement and fun. Just didn't know I had to say anything, but one thing that did strike me while everyone else was talking was this little book that I read this week. It's called Prabhupada, Friend of Everyone. Did you read that book? You've seen the book, right? Prigosh, yeah. Prabhupada, Friend of Everyone. I won't comment on the book so much because it may be a little controversial, but it's mostly reminiscences of people who knew Srila Prabhupada in his earlier years, back in the 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, before we met him. These are actual interviews with these people who knew Prabhupada. And two things, reading that book, two things struck me that I had forgotten about Srila Prabhupada. It became so clear again. But I was reminded by this book. Number one, that Prabhupada came from a very aristocratic background. He used to tell us sometimes, oh, I came from a very good family. But he wouldn't say much more about it. He never bragged about his family or said much about his family, other than that they were great Vaishnavas. His father, in particular, was a great Vaishnava. But it came out in this book that everyone knew his early associates of the aristocratic nature of Prabhupada's family, the Day family and the Mulluk family. The Mulluk family was so aristocratic in Calcutta that we read in another book about early days of India that the Mulluk family used to have their take their carriages around the streets of Calcutta, not being pulled by ordinary horses, but by zebras imported from Africa. This is part of Prabhupada's background, understanding Prabhupada's aristocratic nature a little bit, his insistence on the finest of everything. Prabhupada got that in a lot of that in his family upbringing. But the most important thing that reminded me from this book about our dearly beloved Srila Prabhupada is that he was first and foremost a revolutionary. All of his godbrothers and friends from those days remember Srila Prabhupada not only as a very aristocratic and handsome man, he's always described as being very handsome and good-looking and well-dressed, but as totally radical in his thinking. He was a revolutionary. His spiritual master requested him to go out to the West and spread Krishna consciousness into every nook and cranny in English language. And Prabhupada says, "No, but I cannot do that yet, sir. First we must throw out the British." Prabhupada was a revolutionary. A revolutionary means someone who very powerfully uses every one of their energies to alter society in a dramatic way. This is a revolutionary. Revolutionaries are very scarce on this planet, very rare. Who do we don't know any real revolutionaries except our one true revolutionary, Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada exhibited this revolutionary passion of his throughout his life. When it was time to give up his family, he gave up his family. When it was time to quit his business, he quit his business. When it was time to take sannyas, he took sannyas. When he printed his first book of Srimad Bhagavatam, he didn't take it to some minister of railroads for signing. He took it to the Prime Minister of India and said, "I have just produced this." And this spirit of revolution, of wanting to change the world, of course, it's easily visible by everyone in the fact that he came to America, and everyone's heard all of the stories, what he endured and how he arrived there with nothing and so on. But to imagine that he was there to change the world at 70 years old, and he was so happy to find even one young boy who was half crazy to sit down and listen to him. And he was encouraged by that one young boy listening to him. And still he dreamed of changing the world. He passed this idea of revolution on to us older devotees in a very strong way, as you can imagine, when you read back through the Lilamrita and other accounts of the early days. Prabhupada never did anything halfway. He had Rupanuga, one of the early devotees, running for president of the United States in 1974, 1975. He said, "We should run for president. Rupanuga, you shall run for president." Okay, so he did. Rupanuga formed a political party. I forget what it was called. Do you remember what it was called? Something about Krishna. And ran In God We Trust party. If you know much about the American dollar bill, which you probably do, it's, on every dollar bill it says, "In God We Trust." That's supposedly the American motto. So he formed the In God We Trust party, Rupanuga did. And he ran for president of the United States because Prabhupada asked him to. This was Prabhupada's vision. He didn't want us to slowly start a little center here, a little center there, distribute a few mimeograph copies. He wanted us to change the world. So it's the duty of us older devotees who captured that. Radhanath Goswami was speaking a little earlier how Prabhupada used to like to sit with me. But I think my only quality for that was because I also, my whole life, was attracted to very radical people. Very revolutionary people. I loved to sit and converse with someone who wanted to change the world all the time. And Prabhupada would sit, and he would have three or four proposals in front of him, for example, letters that had come in, invitations for this or that occasion. And he would say, he would read them and say, "What do you think we should do, Shamsundar?" And I would always go for the one that was the most radical. "Prabhupada, I think we should go to Africa." "Ah, I was thinking the very same thing." He always wanted to do the most radical thing. The lights that came on in Prabhupada's face and his eyes and his smile were the most special when he was the most radical. Even in small cases, but in big cases, for example, if he wanted to have Hare Krishna mantra chanted all over the world, he went to the Beatles. If he wanted to speak to the people of London, he arranged it so his throne was sitting at Nelson's Column, at the base of Nelson's Column in Trafalgar Square, and 10,000 Englishmen sat around him while he spoke. That's when that special light would come into Prabhupada's eyes. When we first came to Bombay, Prabhupada saw how slow the action was happening. Slowly we were beginning to make some impact, but as yet there was not even any one single Indian devotee yet who would listen. So Prabhupada came here, giving up all other businesses. And at that time, Hare Krishna movement was expanding like anything around the world. He gave up all of those affairs to sit down here and plan this Cross Maidan festival, because he said, "This is a revolutionary festival. It will change all of India in one single week." And he showed us how to do it. We were all like you young boys and girls. You know, we didn't know anything. I didn't know how to mail a letter at the post office to a foreign country. I didn't know how to dial the telephone to get a foreign country on the phone. I didn't have any skills like this. No one did experience. So Prabhupada sat here and trained us all in every aspect of putting on this Cross Maidan festival. The rest is history. It changed something. It put Krishna consciousness on the map in India that has never changed. It's never dwindled. But why not make it greater? Prabhupada said, make everyone in India Krishna conscious. Why just a few? Why a few thousand? Why 1 lakh of people? Why not 1 billion people become Krishna conscious? This is how Prabhupada thought. And he would do it tomorrow if he could. If he could get enough people together who thought like that, he would change India overnight. That was his potency. So he's left it in our hands to do this. We should think this way. We should change India. We have an opportunity to show the people of Bombay, and the eyes of Bombay are really the eyes of India, because everything that happens here disseminates throughout your country. We have this opportunity coming up in March, or in February, to show 33 years later that Srila Prabhupada's activities, his legacy, his revolution is not only alive, but it's flourishing all over the world. And we can give it another hit that Bombay won't forget. Everything we do with this festival, we have to think in that way, that it should be the supermost excellent, as Prabhupada himself would insist, The speakers that we invite to speak there, well, I would like to have Radhanath speak every night. That would be the best, but we're going to have to make it a little bit more representative, and those, well, maybe some coaching. And anyway, we'll put on a great show. We've got managers from different parts of the world coming, like Indradumna Swami, who puts on those wonderful shows in Poland. So many other talented devotees have been contacted from all over the world to come and help. We're going to put on a display of Krishna consciousness that anyone who walks in our pandal will say, something very special is going on here. This is not a unique, I mean, this is not an ordinary spiritual group like we thought. We all thought ISKCON just another ordinary spiritual group. No, this is something special. I want to bring my children over here to this ISKCON temple. Let them see what the real Indian culture, Vedic culture is. Everything will be special about this festival in a level, in a league, in a dimension higher than anyone else has ever imagined. This is the only way that we can think of it, because that's the only way Prabhupada would think of it. So I'm just, you know, every time I get a chance to talk about this festival, I will. And you know, I'm like a, you know, like a, I'm a wind up. You just wind my button and I'll... But this aspect of it being revolution is something new. Revolutionary is something new to my thinking this last week. I just wanted to share that with you, that you all start thinking about the way Prabhupada thought about everything, that it was revolutionary. You can't say, oh, but I'm not that way. I'm a very small person. I cannot think in revolutionary ways. But you can. If Prabhupada says that we can change the world, make the world Krishna conscious, we can. We can. He empowers us to do that. So let's do it. There's no stopping us. There's no way that this festival is not going to make a revolutionary impact in India in the year 2005, in Prabhupada's 108th anniversary. It could only happen in Bombay. It can really only happen in Bombay. Because what everyone is going to see is not all the gimmicks, the lights, the Bollywood, all that stuff. We're going to have that too. But they're going to hear our speakers, and they're going to hear Radhanath, and they're going to hear Indradumna and Giriraj and a few other of our great, Prabhupada's great disciples. And we may have a woman speak, and we may have a scholar like Pradyumna speak, various aspects of Krishna consciousness. When they hear those words, they're going to say, those are the same words that Srila Prabhupada spoke. So he's passing on the pure perfection of Krishna consciousness through his disciples. That's the whole point of this festival. And when they come there to hear these words, they're going to see thousands of beautiful, young, angelic devotees dancing and chanting. We're going to have kirtan, so nice, joined by thousands of other people internationally. This is what they will see. They will hear the words and they will see the devotees. And this can only happen in Bombay. This can only happen in Bombay. Nowhere else. So, thank you all for listening again. And as the days pass now, we're counting down. We're only 2 months away, a little more than 2 months away. So very soon everyone is going to be called upon to stop sleeping for 2 months. And to dig into their energy reserves in a way that they may never have had to do it before. But you'll see something marvelous happen as a result. Guaranteed.